Chris Ramsey.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino.
This is Madman Mantha.
This is Tommy End.
This is Damien Dunn.
This is Greedo.
This is the Notorious 27 Homicide.
My name is Bubblegum.
This is the show stealer Nathan Cruz.
This is Harvey Dale.
This is Martin Stein.
This is the Boy the Whale's Eddie Dennis.
This is Jimmy Havoc.
This is Noam Dar. You're listening to the UK's number one independent wrestling podcast, The Indie Corner.
Okay, welcome back to the show, boys. On the line, I have international indie sensation. An international indie sensation, as I say. He's been making waves over in the US with DG USA, Evolve, CZW, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and many more. He's also a prominent member of the AAA roster down in Mexico. And then we're making his UK debut later this month. Yes, listeners, with me today is Samurai Del Sol. First off, how are you today, my friend?
Good, good. Very, very excited for my debut.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's going to be great for us UK fans to see you, obviously, after seeing you many times on DVD and stuff like that. So we're all, I for one, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm sure many of the fans are as well. So we'll get started and let you get back to your day.
Definitely.
So we'll go from the beginning. You were born in Chicago, I believe, but you spent your early life down in Mexico. I mean, do you have memories of watching Lucha Libre while down in Mexico at that time, the early time?
Well, like you said, I was born and raised in Chicago, and most of my training I've done here in Chicago, but when I cleaned it more up was in Mexico City, which one of the best Lucha Libre promotions that is AAA. And by the time that I was down there, I cleaned up all my Lucha Libre style. And not only that, I learned so much. There's still so much to learn that I want to learn more new moves. But every time I'm there, it's like a nonstop training, you know. It's a beautiful place to train and a beautiful place as well. And like I say, I am Mexican as well. I'm Mexican American, but basically like born in Chicago. My parents are from Mexico, but either way, it's really awesome, you know. And like I said, that's something that I always love to do. I love to train, and that's even though if it's basics or if it's non basics or it's just high flying day. It's a non-stop learning for me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, just went a little bit thinking there. Because I've got it. What I was going to say is obviously from the beginning, you know, like your family went down to Mexico and then you moved back to Chicago, but you continued to travel down to Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
And then obviously you're a big fan of Lucha Libre, you know, from where led to believe, you know, buying replica masks as a youngster. I mean, who are your favourite Lucha wrestlers when you were young, and any particular reason why these were your favorites?
Well, yeah, like you said, I have many favorites, but my very first Lucha Libre mask was this luchador named Tinieblas, which he has like a triangle figure on his mask, and he's also a legend along the side with Blue Demon and El Santo, and he's part of the legends that caught my attention because his mask was so different from everybody else. And also one of my first masks was Octagon. I like the whole ninja type looking like, and he also caught my attention. And as a kid, I grew up watching him and Tinieblas, Octagon and Tinieblas a lot. So they were the main ones that caught my attention. Who knew I was going to be Octagon Jr. in Mexico? So
yeah, we'll come on to that in a while. So, you know, as you were back in the US, you know, you began to watch, obviously, the WWF and then later ECW,
exactly.
And Ring of Honor as well. Yeah, you know, as well as promotions in Japan. Was there anyone in these promotions that you admired to be? And, like, you know, when you grew up as a wrestler, you know, it was like someone you wanted to emulate.
Well, when I went back to the States, I grew up watching, like, The Rock, Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
I was watching WCW at the time as well. One of my favorites was Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Juventud Guerrero, like the cruiserweight division. That was one of my favorites as well. I grew up watching like big stars like that, like like I said, like The Rock, Stone Cold, Triple H was one of my favorites as well. There was it was like so many different styles that I was watching, the lightweights and then the like entertainment business. That's what caught mostly my attention. And after that, I was starting watching Japanese wrestling. And I was just like random videos I just kept finding. One of my favorites that caught my attention was Hayabusa.
Yeah.
Hayabusa was one of my favorites, and it still is. You know, the way he presents himself in the ring and outside the ring, he shows the art and the beauty of the Japanese art, and inside the ring and outside the ring, the way he presents himself and the way he moves inside the ring. And then from that, after watching, it kind of led me off watching ECW back in the time. I watched it a little bit, and one of my also favorites was RVD, the way he moves. Because I was just I also was a Jean-Claude Van Damme fan from his movies.
Yeah.
And he reminded me so much of him. And I'm like, because I'm also flexible. And I, like, since I did gymnastics as a kid, I'm like, wow, maybe I'm watching something here. This is pretty cool. And it just kept growing from there. It kept growing and it kept growing my interest until one day I'm like, you know what? I think I want to do this.
Yeah, I mean, that was the next question. You know, at what age did you decide, you know, being a fan wasn't going to be enough and you actually wanted to get into the business yourself?
Exactly. It was it was a time when I was in college. It was almost right away after high school. There was no schools around my area. I didn't know anybody. I had no contacts at all. So I looked it up myself. The closest wrestling school I had in my area was this promotion called Windy City Pro Wrestling, which is not existent at this moment. But at the time, they were so strict. They were it was pretty good experience too, because since they saw something in me, and they kept pushing me to the limit. That there were some times I'm like, oh, I don't think I can do this. But yeah, it was real tough because when I first started, there was this lucha guy. He did AAA a long, long time ago. He played like one of the clowns gimmick and AAA, and he knew all the styles, and he was basically using a gym just to practice and do his Lucha Libre shows. And I met up with him, and he started training at the facility I was training at. Like I was there in 2 weeks. So when I learned the American style, I went up to that guy. I'm like, hey, you know, I like what you do. Can I learn what you do? So he started teaching me the basic stuff and then the high flying stuff, and it just like level from level just kept going up of because he saw that that I was picking up so quick. So I picked up so quick on the Lucha Libre and the American style, even though they're two completely different styles, and which was very confusing at the time, because when I'm doing an American show, I'm doing Lucha Libre and there's the opposite moves or names. Mm-hmm. So I got confused at the times. So where I'm doing Lucha Libre shows, I'm doing the American style. So it was, like I said, it was real confusing at the time. Yeah. But yeah, I learned so quick. And at that time, at that company, the requirement for them, for me to have my first match was supposed to be within 1 year. And I had my match within 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks.
That was quick.
So it was real quick and nerve-wracking. But at the same time, they pushed me so hard. And then I think within a year and a half, I broke out from that company due to some like money issues. But at the same time, I still kept learning. I met up with my friends, my American friends. They had a different school, so I started going with them. So it was a nonstop learning experience. So from there, I just took on and kind of mixed my style because I did gymnastics at the time. So kind of like a little bit of my interest mixed with Lucha Libre and American, and also like a little Japanese wrestling. That's like what I've learned more with down the line with working with TNA wrestlers.
Yeah. See, you know, when you first got into Windy City, I mean, who was your trainer and how did you find learning the ropes, so to speak, when you first broke in?
Actually, I had many trainers. I had many trainers. But I had many trainers, but at the same time, I kind of learned on my own But everyone I've worked with, I took a piece out of them of what they teach me, and then I use it on what I can do best. You know, I've had so many teachers, but the best I can say Lucha Libre teacher I can say his name is Grant Apache. He's down in Mexico, and one of my old trainers here, like that, you can teach me like some like in the beginning. He taught me like the basic American. It's he went by the name of Steve Boss. He works around here in Chicago, and around the West Side. But other than that, like I picked up so much working with different wrestlers, working with like wrestlers like Petey Williams and Jerry Lynn. Mm. So when I started working with them, I learned so much from them, and like especially in Mexico, they. Working their style, it's so different as well. It's a completely different style and entertainment. Working with legends over there, that took me by surprise too. It was a real honor working with them, and I just kept picking up little by little, and then started learning because basically when you love something, you learn it so fast, right?
Mm.
So that was my thing.
Yeah, I mean, sticking with Windy City for a bit, you know, was there anyone there in your class when you trained that the listeners will know from today's business? That's still going around today.
Actually, there some of my friends. They don't. He works from time to time. He has his own company. He works under the name of Isaias Velasquez. He's also a Mexican friend of mine. He started with me. He has his company called Vanguard Wrestling. He works around here in Chicago, and they do their own shows from time to time. But they don't. I don't see him around. But this other friend of mine that he works on an AEW around here in Chicago, which is a really good company around here in Chicago. He goes by the name of Lamar Titan. He's also one of my old time friends when I first started, and it's like. He works here from time to time, but I hardly ever get to see any of them because I'm always out. I'm always traveling and I hardly ever get to see my family too. It's a great time when I'm like around, and it's also a great time that I get to spend with them. You know, it gets lonely, but at the same time, it's like this is what I love doing.
Yeah, on a bit of a downer note, you know, in 2010, you know, you suffered an injury wrestling for independent company, was it DTU, down in Mexico. Can you explain what happened in that match to cause the injury at all?
Oh, it was actually in 2011.
Oh, 2011, yeah.
2011. It was a big show. That was actually when AAA was starting to contact me, and they got interest in me, so they did this DTU show. I think they had Conan like as a surprise, and some of the promoters heard about me, and so it was like actual. I've been to Mexico before, but this was like media wise, this was my first time. It was my first time, so at the same time, I was really excited, and I was working with other indie wrestlers, and so it was a great moment, but at the same time it was tragic because I think on my part I got a little bit too excited. That's something I learned, you know. I learned the hard way, but you know, I got a little too excited. I did a move that I haven't done in years, but it was a miscalculation, and actually basically what the guardrail saved my life. I've hit the guardrail and then the floor, so I didn't actually get that much damage. It was actually the cut that like kind of made I was actually a little bit dazed and confused still because of the impact, you know. So I ended up staying there for 2 months just to make sure, you know, make sure everything's okay. But yeah, I did actually got a cut in the back of my head, and I went to the hospital and everything. They just told me it was the cut, and I was fine. I just had to stay there for the inflammation to go down. So it was really hard. It was really hard at the same time, but you know, I passed through it, and you know, I went through it. It's really hard to think about it too, because you know, I went through so much.
Yeah.
I went through so much just to live up my dream, you know.
And obviously it's hard for you to talk about, but you know, it was reported, you know, due to the symptoms following the injury, you did consider quitting the business.
Yeah.
But you got a chance to take a place in a 3-day tryout camp with the WWE. So I mean, I don't know if this is true or not, but if so, who did you get the call off, and what any memories of the tryout, etc.?
Well, this is what I'll tell you step by step how it goes.
Yeah.
My injury happened, and there's this event called Expo Lucha. Like it's the biggest event they do once a year. It's a big expo of all promotions in one. They do this whole big show, and it's an all day merch from 8, 9 in the morning till midnight. It's an all day show, and AAA, you name it, it's there. I was scheduled to be there on a main event for DTU. And it was going to be my first Expo Lucha, you know. I was really excited and everything. I had so many plans. But at the same time, like, when that accident happened, yeah, my mind was flushing through so many decisions. And I'm like, you know what, I think this is it for me. This is maybe a calling from God or something. Like, I'm just going to quit. So okay, so once I got better, I got back to the States, and my mind was set that I'm gonna retire. But and then little by little, I started training, like, until I got a little better, started training again. I'm like, okay, I'm feeling a little better, maybe I can just do Expo Lucha, sell all of my masks and merch, and just be over with and quit and call it a day. Or maybe I'll, like, before that Expo Lucha, I had a match with El Generico, which is on YouTube for IWC.
Mm.
And I've always wanted to wrestle El Generico, and that was actually my first match back. And I was still kind of dazed and really out of it. And I was really preparing. I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna have my match with El Generico. Then after that match, I'm going down for Expo Lucha. And that's it. But, I ended up wrestling El Generico, and my mind was going nuts because, like, I couldn't think straight, and my head was hurting so much. And, like, I'm still feeling, like, the side effects from that day. I'm like, oh, man, it was really bad. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do Expo Lucha, and that's it. And, time passes by, Expo Lucha comes by, and I get flown down over there. So at the time I landed from the airport, I get a call from my family. I'm thinking something went wrong or anything, because my mom suffered a heart attack because due to my, like, injury, she was so worried. And so it was like so many complications down the road when I was going in recovery. So yeah, that was my thought right away. I'm like, oh, something happened again, or, you know, just making sure my family's okay. You know, I don't want them to worry. But it was so many complications. But when the minute I landed there, it was one of my cousins that picked me up, because I have family in Mexico. They picked me up, and he passed his phone onto my phone. I'm like, oh, okay. Like he gave me the phone, like, because my mom was calling me. So yeah, saying that WWE called me, that they wanted me for a tryout. So it was really hard to believe at the time. I'm like, well, okay. Then once I got to my aunt's house, I listened to the message by Skype, actually, putting the phone on my iPad, and just putting the message so I can listen to it. And it was actually legit. I'm like, oh, okay. So I managed to contact them and confirming their dates, which was like a 3-day, it was actually Money in the Bank, Money in the Raw and SmackDown. It was the time when CM Punk won in Chicago. Yeah, I was there, and it was a really great experience. You know, I've never went through that, and you know, it's like, wow, it's maybe something's telling me to keep going. So yeah, I just kept going. You know, like I decided to stay in Mexico for 3.5 months, and I did nothing but train. So when I got back, I ended up wrestling. I had my debut match in CZW against AR Fox.
Yeah.
And it was, I've heard of him. I've heard of what he can do. I was really excited. I was supposed to wrestle somebody else, but the card got changed and I ended up wrestling AR Fox 1-on-1. And to this day, because of AR Fox, my door's open with Dragon Gate USA.
Yeah. I was going to talk about obviously that match with AR Fox in a while. But after that W tryout thing, I've got it as, you know, you appeared in a like a reality program for AAA, and then you finally got your chance for a promotion on the main card. Was it August 2012 in a 6-man tag involving Juventud Guerrera, Psicosis as well. And, you know, memories of this debut match on the main show for AAA.
That I actually appeared. It was like in 2011, during the time I was staying there. There was a tournament called "Quién Pinta para la Corona." It's kind of like a tough enough for, yeah. Put it that way. So they used me for their show, and that's when they saw my talent live for the first time, like all of them. Mm. So in 2012, I do Expo Lucha again. And this is the time after AR Fox and after Dragon Gate. So I do Expo Lucha again, and I work my first match, my second match with AAA, before I did a dark match with them at a actual show. And the second time I worked with them was at Expo Lucha for TV. And they used me there. They actually flew me down for Expo Lucha. And I ended up, working Juventud Guerrera, Joe Leader. Who was there? Psicosis, and one of my friends ended up being there at the right time. It was Zima Ion. He was Division champion at the time, so it was actually a great moment there too. You know, to think about. But that was the second show I did with them with AAA, and it was another great experience being there at Expo Lucha.
Yeah. I think you were training with AAA regular Teddy Hart up in Canada, and you received a call from Conan and offered a full time spot on the AAA roster. You know, how was it you felt at this point?
Oh yeah, after that, I was training with Teddy Hart over there in Canada, and he has his own wrestling school, and it's just really awesome. Like all we did is just work out and train, work out. And it's pretty cool because it opened the doors for me with AAA Canada, and they had really huge names on those cards, which is really another really great experience working at the Stampede Ground. And it's like another moment of me like jotting down of my goals. You know, I've always wanted to work there before, and now I did. And it's, every time I get goals and I just accomplish them, you know, I try to set goals and I try to go for them no matter what, you know. And it's another great experience working with Teddy. He has a really great mindset of thinking of how to do moves and incorporate moves. And that's, I think we have that in common, you know. So because we always like to come up with new moves and try to see what works and what does not work. So that was another great experience.
Yeah, I mean, early in your AAA career, I believe you got embroiled in an angle which saw you be taken under the wing of, you know, Lucha Libre legend Octagon, who you mentioned earlier. I mean, after being given a new mask, you were then billed in AAA as Octagon Jr. Tell us, what was that like? And, you know, it must have been like a great honor, but in your own words, tell us what that was like at the time.
At the time... Yeah, the offer like from Conan was given to me to be Octagon Jr. And yeah, it was I won't lie, it was really hard at first to think about. But then again, I'm working both, you know, Mexico City to be Octagon Junior, you know, and in the United States and international everywhere else as Samurai Do Sol. And it's something that we're still working on, and due to my schedule right now with Samurai Do Sol. But it was a really great feeling for me to be under the wing of a lucha legend like Octagon. Like I grew up watching him, so I never in the world thought I was gonna be Octagon Junior. I always digged his mask, you know, at the time, you know, and they gave me a version of a little bit with my style and mixture of what theirs, you know, of what they want Octagon Junior to look like. And it's still a really nice mask. The whole gear, the dragon in the back of my suit thing, it looks great. I still come out with my jacket, my samurai jacket, so I'm still kind of samurai inside, you know, no matter what.
Yeah.
So, but at the time, it's still right now, it's still a really great deal. Like, it's still, sometimes, like, when I'm here, it doesn't hit me as much like Octagon Jr. I can't believe it, you know, but I'm in Mexico. It's like, wow, a lot of people love Octagon Jr. I'm like, okay. So it's like really, it feels really great, you know. It's, I like giving all I got to the fans out there because, you know, I like seeing the fans happy. I like showing fans what I can really do, what I'm capable of doing. And I like them appreciating what I can do. So it makes me happy inside. It makes me push further. But Octagon Junior, it's a really great pleasure to be Octagon Junior.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this is something you can clear up. I mean, there's rumors, you know, around that AAA are thinking, you know, due to your busy independent wrestling commitments, you know, around the US and obviously now the world, they might be looking at replacing you as Octagon Junior. Is there any light you can shed on this at all? Have you heard that yourself or anything like that?
No, actually, they're like I said, like due to my schedule with Samurai Do Sol, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's still some talking still. We haven't communicated as much, but at the same time, I'm still willing to work with them no matter what they do.
Yeah,
like I said, they're like the best Lucha Libre company in the world, and I'm still, you know, willing to communicate or negotiate or anything like that. But yeah, I haven't heard anything like that. But at the same time, if anything, you know, I'm willing to work anything out. But you know, still. Being Octagon Junior, it's, you know, it's really great. You know, if they choose another one, then that's you know, that's cool. You know, give it like maybe to somebody that well deserves it. But if I'm still Octagon Junior, then hey, you know, I'm gonna I'll give them what I can. You know, what I can do, and give me the chance to explode, and I will.
Yeah, no problem. This is where I was going to talk to you about your debut match with AR Fox in CZW, but you've already covered that. At the Best of the Best 2012 tournament, obviously, which was on iPay-per-view, you know, you got a huge win in a three-way over Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano. Do you have any memories of this match?
Yeah, actually, it was awesome. It was awesome. My very first Best of the Best. Working Johnny Gargano and Chuck Taylor, I've worked them before, and they're really great talent. You know, they're really on pace and really in time with their moves and everything. They're it's another type of wrestlers that I can flow with. You know, it's a great experience. You know, best of the best. It was awesome. Especially like my second after that match, that trio that we had. My second match with AR Fox was pretty awesome. It was like a flow. We just automatically click. I don't know how to explain it, but we just automatically click. Or even let's just say we miss something or we just get it there. You know, we just invent something in there. It's weird. that's how we click. But I can say the same with Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano. They're real great wrestlers, and you know, like I said, it's pretty cool. You know, I wish I could have won Best of the Best, but hey, maybe next time.
Maybe next time, definitely. Yeah. I mean, and in March of 2012, you know, you came into Dragon Gate USA and billed as like a mystery luchador, and you got, you know, like a huge win over Dragon Gate Japan mainstay, you know, Masato Yoshino.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this must have been like an amazing time for you. What's your memories of that match and that time?
Well, I'm gonna lie. The first time I was a little nervous. You know, I was excited. Yeah. I was nervous. I wanted to do too much, but at the same time, you know, I want to show them what I can do. But at the same time, working Yoshino, and I've heard so much of him. You know, he's really fast.
Really, yeah, no, I've seen him wrestle live myself.
Oh man, he's yeah, but to me, he's like, he's fast. I don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah, I would love to actually work him again, once again, and maybe one of my favorites also, Dragon Kid. I would like to work.
Mm.
But back with Yoshino, it's it was actually a really great moment that day working, because it was my first match at Dragon Gate USA, and you know, me being there, especially in Miami, the environment, it was like, wow, you know, it was pretty cool. I've never been to Miami, and plus me being the mystery luchador and first time working Dragon Gate USA, hey, you know, what else I can do? This is pretty cool. So yeah, I just took it from there, and they all like my style, and every match I tend to put in a little something different, you know, so they can, the fans can see different styles and different moves that I can do in every match. But
yeah,
actually, I was like, go ahead.
No, it wasn't. No, is there anything more you want to say about that? Carry on.
Actually, yeah, after that first match with Yoshino, it was pretty awesome, but I was preparing more of myself for the second night. I ended up working this mid card guy they brought in, and I showed him more of what I can do in high flying, and more flying to the outside, and that prepared me more for the third day, which was a scramble match with me, Chuck Taylor, Zima, I think it was Rich Swan, and a mystery other luchador was El Generico.
Yeah.
So it's another great, great event to top things off from my to-do list, you know. I went out there and gave it all I got at the very end of the show, and it was pretty awesome, you know, and especially being WrestleMania weekend, I ended up going to see a little bit of WrestleMania. So it was top things off to see what I can do, and it was pretty cool, you know. It was a pretty great weekend. Yeah.
In the April of 2012, I believe you made your debut for Evolve, and you again faced Taylor and Gargano in a three-way. I mean, you lost out this time around, but was there any? How did it differ to the CZW match? Any was anything notably different? With obviously the difference in the people backstage, obviously the bookers and the environment. Anything that was more notable about this time around when you faced these two guys?
Actually, Sammy Callahan was one of the guys that he helped me just refocus and rethink and be smart in the ring, you know. So that he kind of like just helped me clear things, you know. So and working Chuck Taylor and Gargano, I did what Sammy asked me, and it was pretty. You know, he gave me great advice, and I took it. So from there on, working great guys like that just helps me prepare more and help me be smart in the ring as well. So it's something that I took in consideration, and they see how I progressed from the day one from Dragon Gate to the day that I am now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can see that in many ways, and they tell me too. I can see how they respect me, and it's a great feeling, you know, that from day one, you know, I'm still, I mean, we all start as baby steps, you know, and it's the whole thing's a learning process. So even from promoter, from Dragon Gate too, it's like, they see how well I progress from day one from Dragon Gate to the day that I am now.
Hmm. A guy you've mentioned a couple of times so far in the interview, Al Generico, you know, of course, who is now the WWE. I mean, he's played a big part in your career in the last 12 months or so. You know, you had a three-match series going down 2-1 in the end. But, you know, I must say myself, you know, it was a trio of excellent matches, which included, obviously, you also teamed him as well. Tell us about your experiences working with Generico against and, obviously, teaming with him.
Wow, first time I was going to work with Generico, I think it was in Tampa for Evolve. The first time, it was like, wow, okay, you know, I'm going to work Generico, I'm going to give it my all. Because it was a two-day weekend thing for Evolve. And, yeah, it was, I think the promoter liked it so much, he booked us again for the second night. So I'm like, okay, I think we have something. We have something here. So, all right, you know what? Let's just go nuts. Let's just go nuts, man. And I'm like, all right. So from there, the second day is, wow, we just created magic in the ring. It's like, wow, okay. I didn't know I can do that, but okay, I did it. So, all right. So it's just like, we just went out wall to the walls there. We just did stuff and we have totally trust in each other. And then from ever since that day, I was like, wow, okay, you know, we may have something here. And it's also a great, awesome, he's a great wrestler to wrestle with, great base, you know, great personality, great character. And I learned a lot from him actually too. So actually, and then we had, we actually teamed up. It was me and him versus Seema and AR Fox, which is another great match that we had, and we just all clicked together. And especially me and AR Fox, and then Generico with Seema, and so it was all like a nuts. It was a great day. It's we just created new things, and I'm like, okay, this worked. All right, cool, this worked, you know. So we had really great communication, and like I always say, like with great communication, you could create great art.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, the three matches, the singles matches you had, you know, were excellent trio matches, and the tag match, like you said, was just mind blowing.
It was mind blowing. Yeah,
it was. It was some of the best stuff. Some of the best stuff of last year that I seen. You know, a big thing for you, I guess, you know, was winning the Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup as well, okay, in 2012, you know, beating Eddie Rios, which is not a name that I was over familiar with, but some of the other guys, I mean, Jonathan Gresham, he's someone I've seen live over here many, many times, and he's just one of the best wrestlers to come over to the UK from America. He's just awesome. And obviously John Davies and Gresham, bit of a difference there in size and style. And then obviously in the final, your good friend AR Fox. I mean, tell us about that weekend and how did it feel, which is such a tournament, you know, winning such a tournament.
Wow, that tournament was real special, actually. It was really awesome. This is like the very big tournament that I won at that time, you know. It was mind-blowing, too, because I had wrestled so many times, you know, and from there it was a big surprise me beating John Davis quickly for the pin, and obviously I wasn't too happy about it, and you know, that created a little bit heat against me and him, but at the same time, like, hey, you know, we got to do what we got to do in order to win. So that was a really surprising win that I got off of him. And then finally against AR Fox, I'm like, wow, we really click in the ring. But every time we step in the ring, man, you end up beating me. I'm gonna do whatever I can in order for me to beat you this time. So, yeah, we went crazy. I really recommend you guys watching that match. We did so many new stuff. We clicked again in the ring, and I caught him. Since I study him, I study what he can do. I caught him with his low main pain, what he calls it when he jumps from the second rope into a moonsault. And I did my rising sun reverse Rana off, ran into his head for the 1-2-3. That was very surprising for him and me and for everybody else. So, and the time actually the time when we were wrestling, that's when all the wrestlers came out of the locker room and outside the ring. That was real. I saw it so much like a respect match. So
yeah,
it was real. It was a really great feeling, and it motivated me to do even more. So we did a lot of stuff there, and like at the very end, I caught him with my finisher, the Rising Sun, off his finisher. So it was a great reversal and a really great idea that I had. You know, it was really, really crazy. I just caught him off guard and finished him for the 1, 2, 3. Finally, I'm like, wow, okay, I finally beat you, man. After all these times, you beat me, but hey, I finally got you. But especially for this event, for the Jeff Peterson Cup, which would made him even more special.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I've got tons of your stuff on DVD, but that's one thing I haven't been able to get hold of yet. But especially after listening to you now, you say it's like a must-see thing. It's something I'm going to try and definitely get my hands on. Yeah, I mean, I myself, you know, I'm a massive fan of PWG, and you know, you made your debut there this year, teaming with that guy again, AR Fox, obviously.
Yeah.
Losing to Ricochet and Rich Swann, who recently formed a team there. You know, the match was absolutely amazing. But after a few years in the business, you know, what was it like finally being in PWG, and what was your memories of that match?
PWG, it's a different crowd, different event. As you can see, man, every match just like, wow, you know. The fans, they make everything so special, you know. It's awesome. Being there for the first time and people chanting my lucha chant, you know.
Yeah.
it's a great feeling, you know. It pumps me up. It's kind of like an upbeat workout thing, you know, like lucha. So it's like it just motivates me and it gives me energy. So it's me and Fox, we clicked again as a team. You know, we've never worked as a team before, and that was the very first time working as a team, and it was both of our first debut there.
Yeah.
So we gave it all we got, and there, even though we end up losing, but hey, crowd got what they deserved, you know.
Yeah, it was I've already said it was an amazing match. It's just
a rematch against them, or you know, maybe a couple of one-on-ones with Rich Swann or Ricochet again.
Yeah.
But, I would love to work those guys again.
Yeah. In March, you won the King of Flight tournament, the first thing put on by Brian Kendrick. You know, you had some amazing matches. I've watched it literally over the last 2 days.
Uh-huh.
Started watching it yesterday and finished watching it today. Mm-hmm. You know, amazing matches with Paul London, Fox again, and then obviously the main event, which was a huge victory against Ricochet. What are your memories of this awesome show?
Wow, it was actually that same weekend. PWG.
Yeah.
Wow, it was really, at the very end, I'm like, oh, I can finally sleep. I gave it all I got. I gave it all, because it was really unexpected, you know, me giving a win, like getting a win from Paul London. You know, I've seen his stuff in WWE, and I know what he can do. And
yeah.
I looked up to him too, you know, like at the time, you know, he was like the time of the cruiserweight guys, him and Brian Kendrick. I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool, you know. Yeah, he's a really nice guy. I got the win off of him. But hey, you know, actually show what we both can do in the ring. And like second event, I went on with against AR Fox. It's not, like I said, me and AR Fox, we clicked and we know each other from the back of our hands. You know, it's like, we gave it our all there, and again, I got an unexpected win off of him. I'm like, oh, okay, this is now. Me and AR Fox, all right. So, very tired at this point after my PWG show and those two matches I just had, and then now finally against Ricochet. So that's another guy I've been always wanted to work, and we were both surprised of the stuff that we can do and the new stuff that we were creating in the ring. It's like, whoa, okay, how come this never happened before? Like, we never had this match before, you know. Like, I've even had the promoter from Dragon Gate USA is like, oh man, we booked this match, you know, soon. So if any, yeah. I mean, Ricochet's in Japan right now, and like he told me before, he would love a rematch because he said it was unfair that I won. But hey, I got the best of him out of that day, and I give it all I got, even though I'm short, big or small, man, I can get you. So. Ricochet yeah. wasn't happy about that day, but hey, I got the crown for King of Flight, and it was a great moment, and especially for Brian Kendrick's first show. It's really, really awesome, you know, and him giving me actually Ricochet gave me the crown, and Brian Kendrick presented me as the King of Flight of that year, and it was a great moment, you know. I can say, hey, I got this off my list, you know.
Yeah.
And it reminded me when I was starting, a long time ago, when I was first starting Lucha Libre shows, they were automatically announcing me as the Mexican high flyer, El Rey del Aire, which is translated the King of Flight. You know,
yes.
Never thought I was gonna be the King of Flight this year. You know, it was, and especially having the best high flyers there, and it's an awesome event that I really recommend everyone watching. If you see the trailer, you know, it's. You guys got to see what me and Ricochet did. It was nuts.
Yeah, definitely. Because I watched it this morning, the actual final match, and he's just off the charts. He's just amazing. I've actually got a direct quote, a comment from Nigel McGuinness that he gave to me earlier, because obviously he was doing commentary on the show that night, and he's gave me. I asked him, telling him I was doing an interview, and I asked him for, you know, to say something about you. And this is what he said about you. He was very impressed. Great charisma. And as exciting a flyer as Rey Mysterio was at the same stage of his career. So that's what Nigel McGuinness said about you after seeing you at King of Flight.
Oh, that's cool. That's,
yeah.
I never knew that. That's
an honor. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's directly said that to me today. So, yeah, it's some good praise there.
Oh, that's an honor.
Definitely. Right. Now, onto the future, you know, this month you're making your first journey to the UK.
Mm-hmm.
The first stop will be at Fight Club Pro, you know, which is my basically my local promotion. And you're going against, you know, a personal favourite of mine for the UK workers, MK McKinnon. I mean, MK has ventured to the US in the past, you know, wrestling for CZW, Chikara, Evolve. Have you ever caught any of his stuff? And if so, what are your thoughts of MK?
Oh, yeah. I caught his stuff against Sami Callihan. Oh, they went at it. So I already know what he can do. And that's all I can say, maybe. So I want to catch everyone by surprise. If he gets to me, then hey. There's always a rematch, man.
Yeah.
They don't call a rematch for nothing.
No, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, the following day, you're going to be a part of the awesome-looking Southside Wrestling Speaking Tournament, which I'll be at as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, includes, obviously, other imports like Jay Lethal, Jigsaw, and your good friend Zima Ion.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you personally, you know, last year's show was actually stacked, but this year's is even bigger.
Oh, wow.
I mean... Yeah, in the first round you'll be facing, you know, Marty Scurll. You know, this man is considered, you know, one of the UK's very best, and always features on the Dragon Gate UK shows when they tour. I mean, again, like MK, have you ever seen any of Marty's stuff? And if so, what are your thoughts?
I think I've seen some of his stuff. Yeah, and so far, what other people tell me that he's really, me and him are gonna click so much, and I'm like, hey, you know, that's awesome. Like you just saying that as well as like makes me. Want to even work even more harder. So I'm like, hey, I want to, like I said, if he gets the best of me or two, and then, hey, I'll get a rematch out of him or anything. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to get into that. I'm starting to study people now and making sure I can get the win.
Yeah. I mean, and to end the tour while you're in the UK, you'll be at Revolution Pro Wrestling. You'll be teaming with... chap by the name of El Ligero, going up against a very good team of Chris Travis and Martin Kirby, you know, who wrestles like a heel tag team as Project Ego. Again, it sounds like a broken record, but, you know, have you seen any of the stuff from the other three guys involved? And if so, what are your thoughts?
I've seen El Ligero, to be honest.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the other guys yet, but
yeah.
I've seen El Ligero work and...
Tozawa,
yeah,
have you seen his match against Tozawa?
Oh, yeah, I saw it. And like I said, Tozawa is one of my favorites, too. But working with Hiro, I'm like, oh, okay, I know what he can do, and I've heard so much about him in the UK, so I'm like, okay, I guess we can do something here, we can maybe click here, we can communicate. But I've liked his work, you know, I like his gimmick, and I'm really looking forward to this match to end it off, you know, kick it off with a really great match.
Okay, Sam, that's basically it. Tell the UK fans, you know, what they can expect from Samurai Del Sol on your UK tour and why they should come out and see you.
Well, UK fans, I really recommend you guys watch Lucha 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 with Samurai Del Sol, the Rising Sun. Come here and see me at the UK, Samurai Del Sol. Or you can visit my website, Samurai Del Sol, that's with a Y, samuraidelsol.com. Or you can watch my YouTube videos. If you guys don't believe what I can do, watch my YouTube videos. Or come to the events.
Yep, definitely. And to end, Samurai, you know, it'd be unjust if I didn't address this. You know, it's stuff that's just been reported literally in the last few days. It's saying, you probably know what's coming now, I don't know. But, you know, the report's going around that you've undergone some medical tests for the WWE. Can you shed any light on this at all?
Well, actually, there's always been rumors since last year.
I remember.
Yeah, so it's like non-stop rumors. I mean, I'm really flattered. I'm really flattered that the people thought, like, even at the time, still, when Generico got signed, they thought it was me, and they got a hold of a picture photoshopped, and I'm like, whoa, that looks real. I'm like, okay. I'm really flattered. Like, there's so many fans that they've even have, like, I found like 10 Twitter sites, even Facebooks of Samurai, WWE Universe, and all this stuff. I'm really flattered, but I've even broken the news to my fans and everybody else way before, you know, I think it was in January. Not sure that it's not me, you know. Thank you so much for everything, but hey, either way, I'm flattered that you guys want to see me in WWE. But
I'm not personally saying I do, but I'd see you in the Indies and have all the great matches that you do. But yeah,
I mean, it'll be a dream, you know, one day, hopefully.
Yeah.
But thank you very much for everybody for doing that. But at the same time, follow at Samurai Del Sol, Dragon Gate USA star.
Yeah. Definitely. So that is the last thing, you know. Obviously, you plugged your website. Is there anything else you just want to plug? Your Twitter for anyone else to follow, etc.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's at Samurai Del Sol. It's with a Y, like I always say. I just try to be different because I'm pretty sure there's more samurais out there that spell it with an I. I found a couple, but I'm Samurai Del Sol, the Rising Sun, and that is Lucha 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 for everybody else.
No problem. Thanks again, Samurai. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks when you're over here.
Definitely. Looking forward to it. Don't miss out, guys. Be there.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.